You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as a stunning final round 62 at the Maybank Championship secured Shubhankar Sharma his second European Tour title of the season.
Past 2 months have just changed my life. Winning in Joburg and then winning here is absolutely stuff of dreams for me. I've always dreamt of winning on the European Tour and I have to have won twice now. It's absolutely fantastic.
We'll talk to Sharma about his 10 underpass Sunday success in a few minutes' time. And we'll also hear from the Indian's closest challenger, Jorge Campillo.
I mean, I knew he has to shoot low, but not that low, you know. It was windy, it was quite tricky out there, you know. It's tough to beat 10 under on the final round, but, you know, I'll keep trying, I guess.
We'll review all the action from Malaysia, then look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the second staging of the innovative ISPS Handa World Super 6 Perth. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Richard Boxall this week. Boxy, how are you?
I'm all right. Although I've had not a brilliant start, I went down to South Africa and I caught a bit of a bug down there, and I had 2 nights in the room where I could, or 2 days in the room where I couldn't get out, which is not to be confused.
Did you still get paid?
Oh, yes, I got paid, but...
Are you saying that you pulled a sickie?
No, I was just still doing all my homework and everything like that.
Oh, okay.
I went through and did all the stuff.
I see.
And then I went to Dubai, I got a cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, you know, someone's got to do it, and I can't moan. But to answer your question right now, yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. How'd you get a cold in Dubai?
I think it's
aircon. It's so warm.
Aircon, I think. It was about 80-odd degrees, yeah, but it was, I think it's to do with
Were you not out on the fairways? You're just in the room?
No, I don't do on course anymore. I just do in the commentary box.
Yeah. Excellent. Is that better for you? Is that working out?
Yes, I know. I enjoy it very much. It's... I've been doing it quite a while now, 18 years, but I thoroughly enjoy it. Maybe 19, according to Robert Lee, but anyway, there you go.
Yeah, you'll get there in the end. Keep trying.
I'll get it right eventually. Thanks, Dan, for that.
What about Shubhankar Sharma, then? Winner in Joburg, which you watched, you were there in South Africa, and winner in Malaysia as well. I mean, this kid, 21 years old, is very, very good.
He's excellent. You're right. I was down it was a Monday finish for the Joburg Open due to the normal 4 o'clock storms that come in every day and they couldn't quite get it finished on the Sunday. He held on well. You know, that night's sleep on the Sunday night wouldn't have been that brilliant because he'd have had Saturday night leading into the final round where he'd have, you know, leading to
big lead, though.
Yeah, well, it was a big lead, but you can only do one thing from there. You know, that's the thing, and that's lose. So Saturday night and Sunday night would have been not exactly restful evenings, but he got the job done on the Monday in Joburg. Then coming on to the event yesterday,
No, I was going to say this is very different. I mean, you know, you're talking about leading a tournament and the difficulties that has. He's come from way off the pace. He starts, what, an hour before the leaders go out. He's 4 shots back. I mean, what's the mindset there?
Mindset's there is if I can shoot a nice low score today and hopefully the wind will pick up, I shall pick up a nice few points, dollars to go on to the race to Dubai and jump me up that league. But, you know, 70-69, he's only, well, 70-69, if I'm right, is only just making the cut, isn't it, by two? Would that be right? Five under?
Or around about that.
Yeah, I think it may have even been 4 undercut. But anyway, so you just make the cut and then you go and shoot 66 round three. You think, well, that's good. Jump me up a few places. Then his mindset must have been around about the 14th or the 15th. I mean, the last two holes are two very good birdie chances, 17 and 18. I've played that course myself. What was it? Johnny Walker, I think it was. 127 years ago. But anyway, get to about the 14th, he must have thought, you know what, if I can post score, if I can get under two or three under these last sort of five holes, get in the clubhouse, sit and wait. You know, that once you're in, you put the pressure on, the players then have to do it. And he, you know, he played a lovely little pitch into 17.
Yep.
To about, I suppose it was about 10 feet low of the hole, underneath the hole, putting uphill. Knocked that one in, never touched the side, straight in. And then 18, played it, you know, good tee shot, left into the greenside bunker in two. Splashed out there again to about 8, 9 feet, I suppose. And I was watching his wrists. They never moved. Beautifully, you know, silky smooth wrists. In it went, 62, thank you very much. 267 blows for 4 rounds. I'll sit in the clubhouse now and see whether they can beat me. 21 under. And the answer to that is nobody
could. Well, there was two challenges, really.
Yeah.
Both Spaniards, one at the start of the round, one on the outward nine, one on the backward, really. Jorge Campillo, who eagled the first, and suddenly he's thinking, right, I'm too clear now.
Yeah.
You know, I can get the job done. I know it sounds ridiculous and a bit counterintuitive, but when you make a start
long
like
word.
That, when you make a start like that, I mean, does your guard drop a little bit? Do you think you've got it nailed?
No, I don't think your guard drops at all. You just think, oh, that's, you know, that, I wasn't really dreaming of that last night, number one, for a start. But, you know, you can't really say that Jorge Campillo lost it. He shot 68 in the last round. He shoot 400.
But he's made mistakes over the course of the middle part of the round, and he's seen Shabanka start to make birdies. Is he wobbled a little bit? He's never won on tour.
No, he hasn't. He will win, though. He's a good...
He's got a couple of second... What, four second places?
Is he? Look at you doing all your homework.
Have
fantastic,
some of that.
Fantastic,
some of that.
Mr. Roebuck.
You can have that one.
Thank you very much. I'll take that. I'll take that to Oman with me.
Okay, actually. Excellent.
No, I don't think he's... Okay, you make mistakes. Listen, do you know, just slightly harping off this, you know, McIlroy, for argument's sake, when he plays in Abu Dhabi and Dubai... Mm. They say, oh, he's blown it. You know, he finishes third and second. He shoots 40 under par, right? Which for eight rounds. Okay, now that is level 67s. Now you shoot level 67s. I know this is just going off the Maybank, but you just triggered something off in my mind. If you shoot level 67s, every time you go out, would you expect to win every time?
Well, let me say this. That's like suggesting that a Premier League record in football over a calendar year is important. You know, how many times have we heard Arsenal and Tottenham, oh, calendar year, they've got the most points. Well, you don't win the title for most points. You don't win golf tournaments if you can't put it together for the four rounds ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, but level 67s is putting it together. Massively
together. But not as well as two others in those particular events.
Well, that is true. So I would actually basically say that Rory McIlroy was unlucky. Not people going about he's blown it. He hasn't blown it at all. He was unlucky.
I don't think
he's both of them.
I think if you're too clear when he was against Li Haotong the other week, yeah, I think you can suggest that maybe he could have played it differently.
Yeah, two bad holes. He three putted the 13th and pulled his 9-iron on the 11th. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. Mm. Also, water under the bridge is Maybank. So getting back to your question, Dan, Jorge Campillo maybe wobbled in the middle a little bit, but I still think shoot 68. You know, last group off. I think it was last group off. 68 in the last round. You haven't blown it at all.
Pablo Larrazabal was the player that got closer to Shabanka Sharma over the back nine because we saw Campillo fade in the middle part of the round. But again, he just made one or two mistakes at the end of the round and fell away.
Yes, I'm afraid that's golf. You know, it's a funny game, although it never really made me laugh particularly. But it's a strange game. He had a great weekend, 64-66 for Larrazabal. You know, again, multiple winner on the European Tour. Can't really moan with a... What's he finished? Tied third with Ryan Fox. So, you know, I think it's a great weekend. Played well, but no, not to be his week.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we can chat to the Maybank champion, Shabanka Sharma. Shabanka, many congratulations for your win. Second win of the season. You must be pinching yourself.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I never could have imagined that I'll win two events on the European Tour and that too so soon. The past 2 months have been absolutely fantastic and I'm just living the dream right now. So it's everything is fantastic.
Shabanka, I was down in Johannesburg for the Joburg Open for Sky Sports, watching you doing the commentary for that event. How important do you think those six wins you had in India were for you to get over the line in Joburg and also yesterday in the Maybank Malaysian?
Extremely important. You know, golf is a game which you have to build on your past experiences. And this is my sixth season as a professional. First three seasons, I played on the PGTI, which is our local tour back home in India. And, you know, even though I won there six times, but there were a lot of times that I was leading going into the final day and I couldn't get it done. So I think all of those instances just build up as a memory bank in your head. And, you know, every time you go back on the course and every time you're in a similar situation, you know what to do and you know what not to do. So I think all of those wins really helped me, and the wins here on the European Tour are just all a result of that.
Well, we can hear that you're at the airport. When did you think yesterday that your round was going to take off, Shabanka? Because you had a terrific day yesterday. When did you think it was on?
I had a fantastic day. To be honest, I didn't get off to the best of starts. The first hole is probably the easiest hole on the course. It's a driver and an iron on a par 5. And I was really expecting to birdie that or maybe even eagle that, but I parred the first three holes. But after that, I just kept hitting it at the flag and giving myself just a lot of opportunities. Made birdie in 4, 5, 6, 7, and 9. And, you know, when I was 5 under par through the front 9, I knew I was going to go low. Because the past 3 days, I teed off from the back 9.
And every day I was on 4 or 3 under par for the back nine. I would end up just shooting that number. I couldn't really go low on the front nine. So just making birdies on the front nine gave me a lot of confidence, and I knew I was going to play well on the back nine.
You certainly did that. Shubhanka, I'm looking at a thing here called the Race to Dubai, and I see you're top of this list ahead of quite a few hackers down there like Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Chris Paisley, people that are really struggling at the moment. Whoever would have thought? How does that feel to you?
Feels surreal. Obviously, just playing in the same event with these guys was fantastic for me. I was playing in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. Those were great events, and I remember after I finished my round in Abu Dhabi, I actually went and walked with Rory and Fleetwood just to see the way they play. So just to be in the same field with them was absolutely great, and just sharing the same locker room and just meeting the guys. I played with Henrik Stenson on the third day here at the Maybank Championship. So it just feels so different because I've pretty much grown up seeing them, all of these guys on TV, and to be just playing in the same tournament as them. And obviously now that I'm leading the Race to Dubai, it'll take some time to sink in.
You're into the Open, you're into the WGC in Mexico. Are plans changing rapidly for this year for you now?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very hectic schedule, and which I don't mind at all. Obviously, playing these events has always been my dream, and just playing the World Golf Championships and obviously playing major championships and trying to win them has been my goal. And I'm very, very thankful, very, very happy that I have a chance to play all of these big events.
I'm very interested to know, Shubhanka, Jeev Milkha Singh must have been somebody that you looked up and admired very much. Has he had a chat with you? Have you managed to talk to him?
Jeev obviously is a great inspiration to all of us back home. I'm from the same town as him, and obviously he's won 4 times on tour. And we pretty much see each other every day on the range back home. He comes in the evening and practices, so it's always great to see him. And, you know, he's been a big inspiration to all of us. And, yeah, he's given me a lot of tips.
And tell us about your relationship with Anirban Lahiri as well, and more specifically, his father. Is that how you took up the game? Tell us that story.
Yeah, this was during my mother was pregnant with my sister. She was a premature baby, and Anirban's father was a doctor in the army. My father was in the army as well. So, and I remember I was 7 years old then, and we used to go to the hospital. It was it was a very critical time for us as family. And at that time, his father mentioned golf, and no one in our family played golf. Told us that his son plays golf as well, and showed a golf digest to my father with his picture, with Anirban's picture in it, and just told my dad to put me into the game. And me and my dad went to the golf course on the same day. No one in our family played golf, and it just started like that.
Well, you certainly moved in the right direction in the golf department, that is for sure. Shubhanka, let me into a little secret now. What are your goals now, seriously, for the end of the season? If you don't want to tell us, you don't have to, but I'm just interested.
I'll just take every tournament as it comes. I think goals will keep changing, but I'm just want to be focused right now, trying to play good golf. And obviously, winning more is very, very important. It's a habit, and I'll try and do as much of that as possible. And we'll see how it goes. It's a long season, so I don't really get ahead of myself.
Excellent stuff. We've heard numerous calls to get to the gate. Is that your call? And when you get to the gate, when you get to the plane, I hope you're turning left from now on.
not really, not yet. I'm still probably traveling economy only, pretty much. But yeah, I might just upgrade to business class now.
Brilliant. You've got to do that. Flights. You've got to do that, Shubhanka. Get as near to that nose as you can.
Shubhanka, many thanks for joining us. Thanks for your patience today. Have a good flight. Have a good remainder of
the
season.
Thank you so much.
We will speak again soon.
Thank you so much. Absolutely, we will. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Great to hear from Shubhanka. Can't believe that he's not taking up his first-class option straight away. I mean, you've just won twice.
Well, yes, I don't...
Humble man.
He was sort of saying that I might upgrade my seat. I wouldn't mind betting he's already done that. You've got to. Yeah.
Did you fly first-class when you were...
I tell you what I did do when I won the fifth major.
The Italian Open.
The Italian Open. Put your hand up if you won a Rolex event.
Yeah.
Get your hand down, Richard. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Now, when
what
I...
What did you treat
I came
yourself
back on
to?
BA.
Oh, yeah.
I came back British
as opposed to...
As opposed
did,
to...
Did EasyJet exist then?
No, it didn't.
Didn't exist, did it?
It was a long walk. I upgraded my seat, I must say. I did upgrade my seat to business. It was a good night. It was a very good night. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of glasses of water on it.
Excellent.
Can you imagine? Torrance was there with me, and my sponsor was there. In fact, funny enough, my sponsor was there. He turned up for the last day, okay? And it had been raining and wet and horrible. The company was called Total Office Interiors.
I was going to say, what was the sponsor?
The sponsor was Total Office Interiors. Chat where I used to go to school.
You must have had your home and office completely kitted out after that.
Absolutely. But let me just tell you, he turned up at about the third hole and I'd run out of Total Office Interior shirts. The only shirt I had was a yellow one that was blank.
Oh.
And he's very tall, my sponsor.
Oh.
And I looked across the crowd. And there he is, because he's a tall bloke, standing above like that.
Shaking his head, where's your sponsor? No money this week.
Where's the badge? I thought, oh, no. And I had a five-shot lead at that time, and I thought, oh, dear. Anyway, I hung on to the five-shot lead. I won't bore you with it anymore.
I was going to say, just speaking of sponsors, who was your car sponsored by at that time? Was it Tipex?
I did. When I started off, I was
Tipex. Was it Tipex? Yeah.
Tipex, Leslie McLean Limited, yeah.
Yeah. Did that work well, Tipex? Because... obviously, yeah. It's to iron out mistakes.
I didn't have enough of it.
dear. Now then, the win takes Sharma to the top of the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex, and he becomes just the third Indian after Jeev Milka Singh and Anibhan Lahiri to win two European Tour events in the same season. Sharma's 62, the lowest final round of the season, and the lowest final round by a winner since Paul Dunne at the British Masters last season. Time to hear from some of the other players who had great weeks at the Sojana Golf and Country Club. First up, Spain's Jorge Campillo, who had to settle for second, two shots behind eventual winner Shubhanka Sharma.
I played really good the first eight holes, I say. I missed a driver on nine, and after that it was tough. You know, I played a few bad holes, I got a few good up and downs. I missed a few birdie chances, but I finished good, so I'm happy about that. I mean, I knew he has to shoot low, but not that low, you know. It was windy, was quite tricky out there, you know. It's tough to beat a 10-under on the final round, but, you know, I'll keep trying, I guess. Finished second way too many times now.
Four, in fact, Jorge, I can tell you that much. He was 12th in the South African Open this year, 14th in Abu Dhabi when I actually tipped him up on this show. I thought I'd get a long odds winner then, but I didn't, unfortunately. But he's knocking on the door, but you can sense that disappointment there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of disappointment for him, but as I was saying earlier, I think there is a win just around the corner. You were saying he's had a, what was it, four times second?
Four times second.
Yeah, and, you know, and he's now moved up. He played five events. He's moved up to seventh on the Race to Dubai. I think Jorge Campillo, here we go. I'll tell you, I would think in the next 2 months he'll win.
That's guaranteed, is it?
No, it isn't. Otherwise, I'd then be down to my last 48 million. I wouldn't know what to do with it all.
You'd lose your latest sponsor. Tied third, Ryan Fox. We'll hear from him shortly. Alongside Spain's Pablo Larrazabal, who was pleased with his week in Malaysia after missing the cuts in both Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
You know, 14 under par over the weekend is something that is very special. Bogey-free weekend. It's as good as it can get, you know. Congratulations to Sharma. He shot 10 under par on Sunday. You win any event you play on. I'm going to finish, third, fourth, whatever it is. I'm very, very happy.
Full-time winner on tour, Pablo.
Four, is it? Not five.
Four. He's won four. The last was in 2015, BMW International. And when he won that, I thought, you know, this is someone who's going to be one of those who wins every single year. He's massively talented, but he's had a little bit of a lean time.
He's gone a little bit quiet, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't feel sorry for him. I think he's surviving okay, if you know what I mean.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah. What do you say, miscut? Did he miscut?
Miscut in the Middle East.
Yeah, I was out there in the Middle East, not for the first one, but for the second one. I missed the cut there, obviously, in Dubai. But, he's had 64-66 over the weekend, Larrazabal. And first check of the season, 168,900 Race to Dubai points, which incidentally relates to dollars now. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, actually.
Did you not know that?
I did not know
dollar
that.
Dollar rate, I think last November, whatever that was, that sticking for the whole season. So he won €135,000, which equates to 168,900 points on the Race to Dubai, which puts Larrazabal just inside the top 20.
Before we get to the Race to Dubai, we need the top 10 in full from the Maybank Championship.
Well, I'm not going to go further than the 10th anyway.
Okay.
Okay, in reverse order?
It's go for your life.
Okay. In 10th position on his own was Berry Henson from the United States. Then there was a tie. 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th, which was Tanihara, Joshi, I think I got that pronounced right, Ishikawa, Dylan Fratelli and Nino Battaglia, young Italian. He's a good player, Battaglia. Tied third was Ryan Fox and Pablo Larrazábal. Second was Jorge Campillo. And the winner at 21 under, winner by two, Shubanka Sharma. Second win on tour.
Predictions from last week, and it's different this year, and this is your first time in the saddle, Richard, for 2018.
Yes, thank you.
It is presenter versus co-presenter. It's a head-to-head, two picks each every single week. 20 points if you manage to find the winner, 10 for a top five, 5 for a top 20, but here's the kicker, minus 5 for a miss cook.
An MC.
And one of the picks that we have has to be from outside the top 50 in the final 2017 R2D standings. Last week, Mr. Robert Lee Esquire went for Henrik Stenson, who was tied 60th, so he doesn't get anything. Andrew Johnston, who was tied 27th, and again, zero. Mr. John Hawksworth, who was our co-presenter, went for Bernd Wiesberger, who missed the cut. That's minus 5. And also Matt Wallace, who missed the cut, which was minus 5. So that's minus 10 for the person that sits in your seat right there.
Oh, dear.
So right. Overall, so far, the presenter, it's 30. Co-presenter, which is you this week, is 10. Do you like the new format, Boxer? You into it? There is a forfeit at the end of the season as well between us.
I think it's nice. It was invented by our producer, Matt Vines, I think, who invented it. But it's just a shame. I'm not going to play it unless there's money involved because I need it.
Do you know, you are very down with the monetary aspect of everything I've noticed on this show. You know, the dollars to euros, the euros to pounds, the pounds to points. What the points mean?
Prizes. And you know, I have always said it, money isn't everything, but it's right up there with oxygen.
We need the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings. How are we?
In the Race to Dubai
standings? To Dubai.
Oh, do you know what? I nearly read those out. I nearly did it the wrong way around
a few
moments
ago. We've cut that
out.
Try again.
Okay. In reverse order, Daniel, is how you're going to get this. In 10th is Alexander Levy, the Frenchman. Ross Fisher is 9th. Wade Ormsby, winner earlier on this season, is 8th. Jorge Campillo, 7th. 6th is Dylan Fratelli, very good player from South Africa. Chris Paisley, what season he's having. He's in 5th. Rory McIlroy, 4th. Hao Tung Lee is in 3rd. Tommy Fleetwood is now in 2nd. And our leader now is two-time winner this season, Shubanka Sharma from India.
And we also need the Ryder Cup lists because we are inching ever closer.
We are.
It
we
comes
are,
into
we
view,
are,
you know, are. Quicker than you think.
Okay, would you like the world points list, of which there are 4 selected?
Yeah, go on.
And
give me
the
world
European,
first.
Where there is 4 points, players selected.
Yeah.
Okay, the world is John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
And then from the European points list, it's Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton, Ross Fisher, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Team looking very good so far. I think if you stopped it right now, it would be excellent. 4 picks. I don't know who Darren would pick right now.
But who would you pick right now? Just on form, on what you've seen.
On what I've seen, who would I pick so far? I was going to say Tyrrell Hatton, but I think he's pretty much played his way in.
Paul Casey get in?
I think Paul Casey's guaranteed to be a pick. Yeah, so you've got 3 left, really.
You don't have to name all 4. Just wondering who has you know, impressed you. We've seen Lee Westwood play well. Would he be on the bubble somewhere if he
I
continues?
Think Lee's probably gone now. I don't mean gone golf-wise. I mean, I think he'd have to play his way in, I think.
I mean, you mentioned Chris Paisley before. He's had a, you know, he could have gone back-to-back.
Yeah, Chris Paisley is looking good. There's a lot of good
I mean,
good
you know, these
players.
Are, some of them are long shots, but just players that have, you know, impressed you over the first few weeks
think
of
Jordan,
2018.
I thought Jordan Smith might play his way in. But looking at he's not played very well so far this season. He's going to have to really give it some stick. What did he win the European Open last year, wasn't it? Porsche European Open. But there's a lot of good players. You know, Alexander Bjork, I don't know whether you've watched him play. He's a good player.
No, he's been knocking on the door, hasn't he?
Yeah, Paul Dunn.
British Masters winner.
There's a lot of good English players coming around at the moment.
What about Alex Levy? Because you sense that Thomas Bjorn is desperate to get a Frenchman in the squad. I don't know if he's desperate to get a Frenchman in the squad, but it's a point that I've been hammering on this show for the last few weeks. Get the galleries behind them.
Yeah.
Or does it not matter? Does it not matter?
I don't think it matters. I tell you, that course is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's terrific, isn't it?
Sorry,
a lot of risk and reward.
What was that?
I said it's terrific, isn't it?
Oh, right.
A lot of risk and reward. A lot of water. I did say Victor Dubuisson.
You did, yeah. Sounds like risk and reward. But, there's a lot. I used to hate that finish, 15, 16, 17, 18. Horrible. Because I got scared of water in the end. You know, if you're scared of water, don't get
it. Did it become a thing for you?
Massive. Used to wake up screaming about the 18th hole in the middle of the night.
A lot of water.
The thing about it is that how many games are you going to get to that 18th?
Not that many. Never as many as you think, are
they? It's almost better to make the 18th, not the 18th. Mm. 15th, maybe the 18th. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You could walk across. Do you see what I'm saying?
Do you think they'll do that?
Could do.
They could do. They could do.
They tricked up Glen Eagles, didn't they? Anyway.
Yeah.
To the Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game now, where Jamie Spence had the best week in the show's mini-league with Sharma as his captain. He earned over 400,000 more points than the second and the third best teams, and over 800,000 more than the fourth best. Listener Stephen Goggin is still top overall. To join in, go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour, pick your fantasy team, and then under the private league tab, enter the PIN. Are you ready for this? Lowercase VW, uppercase R, lowercase JGR, uppercase JN, lowercase Y. It says in brackets here, rewind the podcast to hear that pin again. Do you rewind podcasts? I'm not quite sure. Do you rewind podcasts? Is it on tape? Have you written the pin down box? Have you got your team in?
I haven't got my team in, but it's lowercase VW, uppercase R, lowercase J, going. Lowercase J, yeah. Lowercase R, uppercase, which is a capital, JN.
It's a G, lowercase not a J.
Y. It's a J on mine.
Anyway, rewind. Get the tape in.
Rewind the podcast to hear that pin again.
Tim Jones, incidentally, Tim Jones leads the global standings with Ashley Walters the best in the world last week. And don't forget to check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for this week's event on europeantour.com with our tips to come in a few minutes' time. Yeah, one or two to avoid shortly. On to this week's event now, which is the ISPS Handa World Super 6 in Perth at the Lake Carignup Country Club. Now, the winner has to survive three rounds of stroke play and then potentially five rounds of six-hole match play. It is a format that was welcomed by an awful lot of golf fans last year. The players liked it as well. For those who didn't watch it last year, Boxy, give us the bullet points to how it works. Now, last year, you nailed this down, so I'm expecting clean, concise information here.
Which is what?
The stage is yours.
You won't get. Thank you very much, Dan Roebuck. Okay, right. Now, there is a standard cut. Top 65 and ties, they are through to the second round. Then there's a second cut made after the third round to the top leading 24 players who will then battle it out over six-hole match plays on Sunday. If there are any ties, do you want to know about the ties for the 24th position? If there are any ties, they will be determined by a sudden death playoff after the conclusion of the third round, which so that can get a little bit lengthy if I remember it did last year. Top eight players after the 54 holes...
Of stroke play,
that sounded like Dan Roebuck though, will be rewarded with automatic seeding into the match plays positions. Okay, and if any of the six-hole matches are tied, they will go to a specially built 90-metre hole with a new tee placed adjacent to the 18th fairway using the 18th green, and there'll be a shootout with the player nearest. Normally they play nearest the pin is the winner, not to putt out. Actually went down quite well last year. Brett Rumford won it last year.
So you read all that out. Do you understand it as well?
Absolutely not, no. I shall watch a bit of it on TV, though, that's for sure, because I've got to go to Oman next week. A week tomorrow.
But that's getting ahead of ourselves. Genuinely, do you like the format? It worked out last year because Brett Rumford was ahead after day one, day two, day three of stroke play, and he won the event by getting through the rounds of match play as well. But you could have a situation where you get two players tied 24th that potentially could meet in the final. Is that fair, or is it just the nature of the beast and this is what it is?
That's just the way it is. I like the event.
We don't need this every week.
No, I've very nearly finished what I was saying then, Dan, before you talked all over me. You could actually win the three-round stroke play event and end up getting no money at
Correct.
All. Correct. This is harsh.
I think you get something.
You're not a lot, though.
I like the fact that you brought it back down to money.
That's very well. I'm 56 now. I don't go to school. But as I said, money is quite important. Moving along.
It's one of them. It's great if you win it, and it's not so much if you don't. But that's like anything, isn't it?
It's like anything, exactly, yeah. No, it's a good event. Very good event.
A wider point, of course, with events like this and the one that's held in the UK is that the European Tour is trying to do something different. It's not every single tournament and it's just looking for a little bit of innovation. It gets the fans interested. And I must admit, I watched quite a lot of the match play and the tied 24ths and so on. And it just gives you something to focus on at the end of 54 holes rather than waiting for that last round. It's great that we get to look at these events that are a little bit different, and hopefully they'll last.
Yes, and like you say, speed is a very important thing in this game. It does have to quicken up. And with those six-hole matches, you can get over them very... Oh, you can get them done and dusted. A lot of people can see a lot of golf. What I am looking forward to is that tournament, you know, that's on the clock, that's in Austria.
Ah, that'd be good.
And I'm not doing that. I would love that. And
you
I think
watch you... on the telly, you'd be all right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'd like to have gone there.
You've got Sky, have you?
Funny enough,
can
yes.
Can you afford that one?
Yes. But, you know, I reckon, seriously, with it, I reckon the scoring will be as good, if not better.
And if that's the case, what does that say about tour golf and pace of play?
It says that I think you should have a clock on every event. Game. Yeah, it goes to show that there's too much faffing around, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see the scores when they come out.
Yeah, but, I think, but honestly, I mean, you know what it's like. Even when you were young, you remember that far back? You used to run around the course, do 45 holes a day. Your scoring was never any different than when you played 18 holes. It was always pretty much the same.
What about scoring at Lake Carignop? This is the venue. It was used for the Johnny Walker Classic, used for the Perth International as well. So it's well established. What do you know about that particular venue down under?
Well, I know it's hot, that's for sure, but it is pretty widely acknowledged as Western Australia's premier golf club.
Are you just reading my notes there? Because
yeah.
It also says, and I've got this from the producer,
yeah.
I can't claim this as my own. It's a tranquil botanical haven for wildlife, including kangaroos. Who knew in Australia,
yeah.
That roam the fairways?
Well, do you remember when we
Skippy?
Came to Perth?
Yeah.
That's what we used to call spectators.
Really?
Skippy. Yeah,
really?
Because whenever you missed a putt on the green, they used to go... And I used to stand there, and I got it off Gordon Brown Jr. And
they
used to say, he said, come on then, Skippy, you come and have a go. See if you can do any better.
Yeah, did Gordy have to say that quite a lot because we're tutting an awful lot.
No, they missed a lot of people wrap themselves up into their sort of Scottish blanket fairly quickly, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Tartan rug.
Yeah.
It's a quintessential Australian golf course.
Is it really?
That's me.
What, 130 years old?
Yes. What I can tell you from a playing point of view is the fairways are pretty wide, but you've still got to shape the ball, left to right, right to left, high, low, that sort of stuff. But I've never played a bad golf course in Australia, but one thing you must never do is tell the Australians that because they never let it go.
A decent field has assembled down under, and a number of players I want to talk about, and a number of people will be listening and thinking, who do I want to select for the fantasy race to Dubai? So we'll rattle through some players and we'll see, and we'll get your take on them. Lee Westwood, we mentioned him briefly about Ryder Cup, and is he on the bubble, and has he still got the game maybe to qualify? He might be there in some capacity anyway. I would have thought. He's playing in Australia this week, 11th in Malaysia. Would he have some sort of chance, do you think, down under?
Westwood's got a chance every single time he tees the ball up. There's no question about that. I'm just saying that he's been around a long time. You know, he's 43, is he now? 44. I think he's 43. And you were chatting to me about qualifying for the Ryder Cup. If he played brilliantly and was, let's say, he was 12th in the list.
You get it.
I think you'd get it. Picked, yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think he's got to play his way in. I think, you know, that's only my view on it. But anyway, you know, you've got Lee Westwood, you've got Danny Willett, Masters champion.
What's happened with Danny Willett? Come on, Boxy. I asked this to every single guest. Two missed cuts this season. You know, he didn't have a great last season. What's gone wrong?
Purely confidence.
What has he got to do? What has he got to do to get it back? How do you get it back? It's an intangible, I know, but what do you do?
It's one of those things that sometimes you never get it back. I mean, hopefully he will get it back. I don't know. It looks almost like you're actually sort of scared to go and play because... You know, I remember talking to Ian Baker Finch, who won the Open Championship the year I broke my leg, and he said it got so bad to the point that when he was playing in America, he didn't actually want to go. He didn't go into the locker room. He changed his shoes in the boot of his, you know, sat in the back of his car and changed his shoes from his boot. Was embarrassed to go on the range, and I think it's to do, or Baker Finch sort of said to me that it was to do with he was given, you know, appearance money. Because you're an Open champion. And then just something starts going slightly wrong in your game and you actually get embarrassed. You think, you know, because you're getting the money to play and not performing, you start getting a bit embarrassed and think, oh, I've really got to show I'm doing something here. And I remember Baker Finch telling me, he said he just got so embarrassed about it at the end of the day, he actually didn't want to play. I'm not saying Danny Willett's like that. Danny Willett's lost a fair bit of confidence.
And he's struggled. I know he's got a slight shoulder issue as well. But when he looks at players like Tommy Fleetwood, who have had, you know, a fairly low, and the way that he's risen back up and right to the top, obviously, race to Dubai winner last year, can he take inspiration from that? Or do you get down about that?
You get down about it more than anything else. You know, you get interviewed all the time, and isn't it nice to see Tommy Fleetwood doing well? And Willett would be thinking, yeah, but it would be very nice to see me doing well. You know, golf's a very selfish game. You don't care who's leading the race to Dubai. You just want it to be you.
Well, I hope Danny does well this week. Andrew Johnson is a player that is never short of confidence. 15th in the Perth International a couple of years ago. 9th in Abu Dhabi. I know that he does all his off-course stuff and he loves the attention, and people have suggested if you want to get to the next level, you should shelve all that. But he's still enjoying it. He's great for the fans.
I think he's made a great move coming back and playing on the European Tour, to be quite honest. I don't think America was a spot for him. Full credit to him for, you know, making hay while the sun shines. I don't blame him for doing that. You know, get as much sponsorship money, as much as you can. Kick on, do it. He's a lovely lad as well.
Ryan Fox is in the field as well. He was tied third at the Maybank Championship, and we can hear from the New Zealander next.
Well, I'm looking forward to Perth. It's one of my favourite golf courses. I played there as an amateur 6 or 7 years ago and always enjoyed going back. And, I love the match play format. I missed out in the playoff last year to get into Sunday, so hopefully a little better this year and get myself in that match play. And yeah, it's a really enjoyable Sunday from what I've heard, and hopefully my turn this next week.
Ryan Fox, who played well last year, of course, on tour, obviously going to enjoy playing down under. So is the likes of Marcus Fraser. So is the likes of Torbjörn Olesen, who won at Lake Carignan back in 2014. It's a decent field, isn't it?
It's a good field. I actually think Brett Rumford will do well as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a fantastic short game. Brett Rumford really has. If ever you want it, if ever you're at a golf tournament, which I know you are occasionally, you can watch him. Watch him play. His short game's brilliant. Who else have we got that I think's going to probably perform quite well? Torbjörn Olesen, another player, plays quite well in these far adrift places. Kiradek Epibarnrat, he's always there week in, week out. He seems to be quite good. You're pointing at me, poised to say something.
Well, because we've got to the time of the show where we need some predictions. We need to nail down who you think's going to win. And we know how it works this year. So you get two picks. One of them has got to be from outside of the top 50 from last year's Race to Dubai standings. The other one can be anyone you like. So give us a couple to follow.
OK, I'll go for my outside the top 50, 2017. I'll go for Brett Rumford, who is the defending champion.
Was he really? Even though he won last year, he was outside the top 50.
106.
He didn't play a lot after that. I remember speaking to him after
he played 22 events.
He didn't play a lot.
Sorry, I'm talking over you there.
That's right.
He played 22 events he played. He finished 106. Let me just set the little rustle of paper here.
Do you want to know his stats?
No, I just... Yeah, go on.
Boxy, do you want to know his stats at Lake Carignan? And this is going all the way back to 2002,
right?
When he played there in the Johnny Walker Classic,
16 years ago.
Yeah, he's not played there 16 times, but his numbers are 27th, 22nd, 36th, 6th, 19th, 7th, and 1st.
And you like
good
a stat,
numbers,
yeah? They are
good,
but you like
for
a stat,
your boxer.
Though,
yeah. Well,
you?
I was going to pick him, but you've got him, so
what? Yes, okay.
That's
so
fine.
He's outside my top. You can still pick him.
I can't. We have to have different ones. That's an unwritten rule.
No, you can pick him for the winner of 2018.
Okay.
So you can still have him.
Well, not really. I understand what you're saying.
You sort of say, has the producer made a mistake in creating this new tournament?
I understand the concept, but there's a sort of unwritten rule,
That's fair enough. Okay.
A
all
Masonic
I'm saying is
rule that says, you
if
know.
You've got one from 2017 and one from this year, then you could pick him. But anyway,
but I'm not.
Brett Rumford for me, and then Ryan Fox is the winner.
Okay.
They're both winners, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
but my winner from 2017.
We're all winners on this
Rumford.
Show, Boxy. We're all winners.
We are. Ryan and Fox. Ryan Fox, Brett Rumford. There you go. And yours are.
I'm going to go for Kiradek Epibarnrat.
Yes.
Who has won a couple of times in Asia over the last few months. He was second in the Italian Open in 2017. So, I mean, if we're looking at a form line here, then the Italian Open is as good as anything, would you not suggest?
I would suggest, yes. And but you are very stato like that.
I know,
I
am.
Know
but
you
I look
are,
at the numbers. He was second in the DP Tour Championship as well. This is quality form. So I'm going for Kiradek as my main pick. And for my second pick, I'm going to go for Shiv Kapoor, who has also been successful on the Asian Tour over the last 6 months or so. 23rd in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And maybe just finding a bit of inspiration from his compatriot winning in Malaysia last week.
So he's your, from
he's
last
my,
year?
Yeah, outside, the, outside the top 50. He's my outsider.
All right. No, Shiv Kapoor. No, nice chap, Shiv Kapoor. Right, you're not going to leave me to present this now, are you?
Yeah.
Because I don't really... I haven't got a running order in front of me, but I'll carry on if you want. OK, I'll keep going. He's gone. Have you got your papers?
I've got it now, thank
you. I'll go from presenting this to back over to you.
Other news now, and Gary Woodland has collected his third PGA Tour title following a playoff victory over Chez Reavie at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. Woodland shot a final round 64 in front of record-breaking crowds at TPC Scottsdale, leaving the pair tied on 18 under before seeing off his compatriot with a par at the first extra hole. Your thoughts on Mr. Woodland's success? Your thoughts on the crowd at Scottsdale? Well, did they go a bit OTT this time, do you think? Are we getting to a stage where, do you know what, they've got to rein it in a bit on that 16th?
No, keep it going. Keep it going. One of the finest things I've ever seen, and I was there to witness it, was Medina in the Ryder Cup when Bubba Watson gave it, come on, keep going, with the crowd through the shot. And Ian Poulter did the same thing. Both hit... Okay, they didn't actually rip them down the middle, but it didn't put them off. I've never, ever seen
one or two players came out and said maybe it's getting a bit too much now.
Well, no. No. Wake up and smell the coffee. Get on with it.
Chez Reavie birdied the last two in regulation but was beaten on the first extra hole. Gary Woodland, though, had one or two injury issues, I think, over the last few years. Massive off the tee, though. He might sneak towards that US Ryder Cup team. He's a very good player.
I think you could be right. He could ease towards that Ryder Cup. He certainly is very consistent. You know, that's his third win on the PGA Tour.
Jordan Spieth, incidentally, missed the cut. His first in 259 days. He's going to make the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
Whatever. Surprised, though, he missed the cut because he's ultra-consistent.
Yes, he's very consistent. But do you know, it goes to show he's human. You can't. It's amazing, really. You can't do it all the time, can you? I mean, you're very good at, you know, on the podcast and the radio and your commentary and all that. But, you know, you make mistakes, don't you?
I always make mistakes, yeah.
Not always.
Not always. But yeah,
trouble
with
the golf, if you make the mistake in two rounds, you can't get away with it. It's no work for the weekend.
Earlier in the week, we've got to go back to last Monday because there was a Monday finish on the PGA Tour. Jason Day earning a first success in almost 2 years. He needed an extra day, as we mentioned, and six extra holes in total to defeat Sweden's Alex Norén to win the Farmers Insurance Open. He's had injury issues as well, this back problem, Jason Day. But it looks like he's getting back towards the sort of form that we saw when he rose to world number one in the rankings. He is a very, very good player. People talked about his back issue and whether he can continue to play the way that he plays. What's your thoughts on Jason Day?
My thoughts on Jason Day are I couldn't believe how he went completely and utterly off the scene, really. I know he's had his injuries and all that, but he just completely quiet now. It's like all the air went out of him completely, went very... I don't know. It's just a lack of confidence. You know, if we knew why it was, you know, when I didn't play well, it was because I don't class myself anything like Jason Day, but when I didn't play, you know, when things weren't going well, it was because I lacked in confidence. You know, Gordon Banks was in every hole when I was putting. Just kept tipping it out, you know. Couldn't hit it. The fairways got smaller, you know. I couldn't get 1.68 inches onto a massive fairway. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it, really? But I couldn't do that. So you lose a little bit of confidence. But the other player in there, Alex Norén. I saw his, when I went to Abu Dhabi 2 weeks ago, you know the train at Heathrow where you go from Terminal A, B, and so you go Terminal A to B. I was at the Terminal A one, and it was a Sunday. And it sounds like the start of some sort of criminal program. It was a Sunday morning. And I made my way down to the train, and there was his caddy. I can't remember for the life of me remember his name now. But anyway, it was Alex Noren's caddy. And I said, oh, hi, so are you coming out to Abu Dhabi? He said, no, there's no fantastic ending to this. I can see you laughing there. But anyway, he said, no, he said, I'm off caddying for Alex, and I'm going to California to stay there for a couple of days, then we're going to play in that one where he lost, what was it, in the Farmers. So I said, oh, right, excellent. I said, well, good luck. I said, it's a shame he's not playing Abu Dhabi, Dubai, those sort of tournaments. Because, you know, he's very missed in those. He's unbelievable.
He lived over there, didn't he, for a while?
Yeah, he did. He'll come out with some stuff that I have no idea about, but I mean, he's going to try and play both tours.
Difficult.
Was that an interesting? I mean, am I hit at parties or not?
Let me tell you, I don't know what I should charge for therapy, but I think that maybe there's an invoice coming your way.
I think there, and quite a large one, I would say.
Do you think Day can get back to world number one? Is he Spieth, Johnson, McIlroy level? Do you think this back problem is always going to keep him from maybe getting right back to the top, or is he in the conversation?
If his back's all right, I'd say be in the conversation. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of conversations, yeah. We need the world top 10. How does it stand after the latest round of tournaments?
Okay, the top 10 are Jason Day is 10th, 9th is Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy is 8th, Ricky Fowler is 7th, 6th is Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose is 5th, 4th is Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth is 3rd, 2nd is John Rahm, and still leading the way is Dustin Johnson at number 1.
Final thoughts on the week ahead, the week just gone. This is your first appearance of the podcast in 2018, Mr. Richard Boxall.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to, not just in Perth, but generally in the golfing calendar?
I'm looking forward to... I enjoyed the Rolex events, actually, last year.
It's become significant, hasn't it, very quickly?
I enjoyed those Rolex events. Obviously, you know, the Open Championship I look forward to, all the majors I look forward to. April's sort of a yardstick, isn't it, at the Masters. You know, I always like the Masters. So what am I looking forward to? The whole of the year, really, but I like the Rolex events and I like the majors.
Well, that wraps it up for this week's Race to Dubai show. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and please leave us a nice review while you're at it. Don't leave us a bad one. Join us next week when we'll look back to the action from Perth and also preview the NBO Oman Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest European Tour news via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and I know you're on this one, Boxy, Snapchat at europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Richard Boxall,
cheerio.
And from me, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.